You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Americans for Truth Hour. We've got, we're in part two this week of our three-part interview with Pastor Ken Hutcherson, who is a truth hero in this country. He's taken the heat. He's opposed the homosexual agenda, and he's also a great man of God. And we are ecstatic to report that Pastor Hutcherson will be our speaker, our keynote speaker at the Americans for Truth fundraiser, fundraising dinner that's coming up at the Christian Liberty Academy. The date is Saturday, November 13th. Saturday, November 13th at CLA, which is in Arlington Heights, Illinois, north of Chicago. You're not going to want to miss this. Hutch has taken on the gay issue in a way that, you know, most pastors just won't touch it. And I respect that about him. He's not afraid, as so many pastors are. We'll get to Hutch in a second. Hutch, are you there?
I am here, my brother.
Okay, welcome back. That was a wonderful first part of an interview we had last week, and I want to pick up right where we left off. But, maybe I ought to do that before I get into this incredible week of activity that's happened on this issue, Hutch. It's just unbelievable what's going on. We had, of course, the tragic suicides of homosexual youth, and then we had a gang attack.
Yes.
Against the homosexuals in New York City. And these are all terrible things. We condemn violence and hatred and abuse towards homosexuals, of course. But what is really unbelievable is that the homosexual activists led by the Human Rights Campaign, which is the world's largest gay lobby group, they are trying to link these tragedies to biblical truth about homosexuality.
Mm.
And Human Rights Campaign went so far as to demand, they're demanding an apology from a Mormon leader. Mormons, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, it's really outside. Most Christians, biblical Christians, believe it's outside Christianity. It's sort of a different religion.
Mm-hmm.
But the man was just, his name is Boyd Packer. He's an apostle in that Mormon church. And he basically said that homosexuality was impure. And we're going to get into that. But he said it was wrong, and the homosexual lobby groups are demanding that he issue an apology. And so we've reached a whole new level in this debate now where the gay lobby, infused with pride, arrogance, and great power that comes from the media basically being a part of the homosexual lobby. The media now is so pro-homosexual, you might as well just throw it in there with the rest of the gay lobby.
Yeah.
They are so powerful that they are demanding retractions, as it were, Hutch, from Christian, from people espousing biblical truth. How do you respond to that?
Well, the major thing is the reason why is because we got so many Christian leaders that is apologizing for their statements about biblical truth.
Right.
It's like anything else. If you support illegitimacy, guess what you get? You get more. If you support illegal immigration, guess what you get? You get more. And if you apologize for the truth of God, you're going to get more tax.
Absolutely, Hutch. And you're right on. And don't you think that the Human Rights Campaign is sort of picking on the Mormons because they're an easier target than, say, going after a Christian leader like yourself?
Well, I think what's happening is they're going to find out that they may have, tried to throw the Trojan horse in, and the Trojan horse got burned. Because if they wake up the Mormon church, they're going to have some serious problems. And that's what all the church needs to be done is awakened.
Right. And the Mormon church, let's give the credit to them. They have led the fight against homosexual so-called marriage in
yes.
this country. And it's actually a shame to the evangelical community, Hutch, how much I think the Mormons have given just huge amounts of money to pass these marriage amendments all over the country.
California couldn't have done it without the Mormon church.
Right. And also, I think Alaska and several other states, they're heavily, heavily involved. And for that, the gay lobby is calling them haters and homophobes. And they have taken on this Mormon church. It's just you know, the sheer arrogance of it, Hutch. A movement based on a sin.
Church to understand.
I'll say that again, Hutch.
I said what we need to get the church to understand is to get a solid, solid understanding that disagreement is not hatred.
Absolutely. And morality is not prejudice, Hutch, and you, more than most people, I think, know that. Last week, you got into your testimony, and it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to start out with where we sort of left out. Jesus came into your life, and you knew that you could not be racist anymore. I wanted to ask you, was that a quick transition, or did it take you a lot of time? I'm talking about leaving racism behind.
No, it was so immediate. It was, it was life-shattering to me. 16 years, Peter, I had spent trying to prove it wasn't a white person in the world better than I was. And I set out to prove that with a vengeance. And, athletics, especially football, helped me prove that, and my academics. You know, you just cannot allow just a physical superiority. Because, you know, they go, many of the whites back in the South were saying, you know, well, his bone structure is different, and he's built to work out in the heat, and he's done all these things. So physically, we can see he's just like an animal. So I had to make sure that intellectually I could prove that I was better also. And, you know, all those years of trying to prove that. And then when I met Christ, Peter, it just shook my world up because Christ said he died for everyone. If Christ died for everyone, who was I as a young man to hate anyone?
Right.
And the first thing I realized is that my hatred had gotten so great that it wasn't just towards whites. It was towards anyone that stood in my way.
Yeah.
And the first person I had to apologize to, which really God drove home, which really made it such a reality to me, was my mother.
Yes.
And I hadn't had a voluntary conversation with my mother for 8 years.
Now, Hutch, could you talk to me as a pastor? You are the senior pastor at Antioch Bible Church. Mm-hmm. That's based in Redmond, right? Redmond, Washington?
Redmond, Washington. Mm-hmm.
The same town as Microsoft?
Same one.
And we'll talk about what you're doing with that, too. You're such a troublemaker, Hutch, you know. Okay, but talk to me about being born again, because I think a lot of people maybe who are cultural Christians who've never been born again, what did that mean to you? 2 Corinthians 5:17, a new creation.
Any believer that tells me that they have accepted Christ and has not driven them to change, we're talking about a 180-degree change. Most Christians have a 360-degree change. They know that they are Christians, but they continue to live the type of lifestyle, hang out with the same type of people, and make the same type of decisions after becoming a Christian. That's not what Christianity is. It's a 180-degree turnaround. The things I used to do, I don't do. The things that used to control me doesn't control me. The things I used to desire to do, the Holy Spirit gives me power not to do. That is the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit in God. And when God died on the cross, he did not die for you and I to participate in Christianity. He died for you and I to have total commitment and eliminate our secular life.
Now, Hutch, you went on, and that's wonderful. And the same applies, of course, to homosexuals. I mean,
yes.
There are some who it's a very big struggle, of course, to change their behavior. There are others who sort of get almost sort of healed instantaneously. I know people who've testified to being born again, and they no longer struggle with homosexual desires. So God, it can happen a number of different ways.
Yes, it's absolutely true. It's exactly like smoking. It's exactly like someone who wants to get a divorce. It's exactly like someone who has that power of hatred and not wanting to forgive others. It is the surrender of your will to the power of the Holy Spirit to give us that energy. And the quicker we do that, it's the quicker we change our lifestyle 180 degrees. Many people don't change, Peter, because they don't surrender 100% to the Holy Spirit's power in their life. And many do because they understand that change is not up to them. It is a total surrender to God and His way.
And they can't really change if they're not in the Word, right, Hutch?
Oh, it's an impossibility. Let's drive our car without gas.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to be in the Word of God, and the Word of God, and you've got to see the Word of God as authoritative in your life and allow the Holy Spirit to work through that to change you.
See, that's why it was such a change in my life. Peter, I've been a Christian now for some almost 33 years, 34 years. And, 42 years. And we're looking at one of the most amazing things in my life. I never had one backslidden day from the first day I accepted Christ. I've had struggles. You know, you fall short. But as far as my Christianity, no, because the first day I accepted Christ, I related it to how I had played football. And that was, hey, God is my coach now. Right. The Bible is my playbook. Now I got to understand if I want to be the best player on the team, I got to do it better than anyone else. I got to run the play exactly the way the play is written in the Bible. The coach and God did not give me an opportunity to rewrite his playbook. And if I'm going to do it, I better please the coach and run it exactly the way it is and don't ask questions.
There's just something about a coach, isn't there, God? You want to please that coach.
And God is my coach. He's my quarterback and my owner.
Now, Hutch, you went on to marry a white woman. Could you ever have envisioned yourself doing that before?
Oh, my goodness. As prejudiced as I was, absolutely not. But God proved how much he can change you. I married the whitest white woman in the world, bro. Here I am, black. She's German descent. And we ended up with four German chocolate kids.
Now, Hutch, how did that come about? I mean, talk about your life after you accepted Christ. Did you go to Bible school, or did you just start reading the Bible? Talk about your transition there.
Well, from the first day that I accepted Christ.
And we got about 30 seconds, Hutch.
Okay, the first day I accepted Christ, the thing I had to do was pick up the playbook, right? Playbook was the Bible. I spent the next 4 years averaging 5 to 8 hours a day studying the Word.
Wow. Wow. So you studied the Word. You knew that the Word was the authority in your life.
Absolutely.
And that, folks, is how you change. That is how you turn your life around, or you let God turn your life around. We're talking to Pastor Ken Hutcherson, who's our keynote speaker at the Americans for Truth Banquet, which is November 13th, Saturday, November 13th. We'll be back in a minute. Back to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're in the part two of our three-part interview with Pastor Ken Hutcherson, who is the senior pastor at Antioch Bible Church in Redmond, Washington. Hutch is just an amazing guy. The more I get to learn about him, he's our speaker at the Americans for Truth Academy. Now, we need funds, Hutch, and you are so gracious flying out here to do this for us. You know we are just so underfunded compared to the homosexual lobby, and you got to hand it to the homosexuals. I mean, at least they stand up for what they believe in. Now, it's totally perverse.
Yep.
It's wrong, but they stand up for what they believe in. Why don't the Christians stand up for the truth?
Well, you know what my name is for evangelicals today. And I hate to say it, but especially white evangelicals, is that we are a bunch of evangelifish with no spiritual vertebrae.
Hey, you know what, Hutch? You are so right. And although there's hypocrisy on the black side too, I know that.
Oh, please.
Because there's a lot of black churches who are afraid. They're afraid to confront it. But you're absolutely right. The polls show that black Christians are more outspoken and more opposed to things like homosexual marriage than whites.
Yes.
But now, Hutch, let's get back to your marriage. How did you meet your wife, and tell us about that?
Well, I was running a high school ministry at a church after I retired from football because I wanted to go to seminary, and I tried to go after I was drafted in college. I was drafted by the Dallas Cowboys coming out of college. The only football player in my college that was ever drafted before me or after me. No one else has ever been drafted out of the school, which was just a blessing from God.
What was that school, Coach?
It was Livingston University, which is the University of South Alabama now.
Okay.
And I was just not wanting to go to pro ball. I mean, I wanted to go to seminary. I had been taught by other white leaders that had helped me grow that if I really needed a ministry, I had to go get training in a seminary. And everything I did, Peter, to try to go to seminary, God said no. I'm probably one of the only players in the NFL that tried to retire after his rookie year because I wanted to go to seminary. And God kept saying no. And spending that time in the Word, you know, I was saying how much time I spent in the Word, I was getting frustrated with the traditional church. I was getting frustrated with the denominational church. I was getting frustrated with the multicultural church.
All right, Coach, Hutch, back up. You said you spent 5 hours a day in the Word?
I average between 5 and 8 hours, yes.
You know, I would like to get to the point where I'm spending every single day at least 1 hour in the Word, Hutch. I mean, yeah. I'm just, I'm I'm humbled by that. I mean, that's amazing. And like you said, you want to know that playbook. And I just challenge, I'm going to challenge myself and everybody who's listening. And I'll even challenge the people who do not believe in the Word of God. Start reading the Word of God.
It is the power behind everything we do for God.
Now, how much time do you spend in the Word today, Hutch?
I get a good 2-3.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
And it's very, very frustrating to me, Peter, because, you know, I got cancer, so I got all the treatments. And so I don't have the stamina that I used to have. And I have, when I get tired, I have to quit.
Right.
But that's when I do my best studying, is when I'm tired, because I don't have enough smarts to put my own thoughts in when you're tired.
Yeah, they say sometimes people spend all the time reading commentaries and reading other people's thoughts. They're not letting God work right through, directly through His Word.
The last thing I pick up when I'm studying, the very last thing, is someone else's commentary. If God can't teach me first and man back up what God has taught me, you really aren't learning.
Oh. All right, Hutch, so that's a lesson to everybody. And folks, you know, for our banquet coming up, originally I thought, hey, Hutch, this guy deserves to be heard. He took a stand on the homosexual issue, and we're going to get to that. Believe it or not, folks, we are going to get to that. But this is also a lesson for everybody, because, you know, the one thing, Hutch, our country, if we developed biblical literacy, our country would turn around, wouldn't it?
Amen. Without a doubt.
I mean, this country does not follow the Word of God. It's just that simple.
Church doesn't. His bride doesn't. So why should we expect the world to do it?
Right. I mean, yeah, the church doesn't treat homosexuality like it's an abomination. You see, now these liberals I talked to, we talked in previous interviews. I don't know if I mentioned to you, Hutch, we got this guy in Chicago, Andy Marin, who goes out. He actually went out to a homosexual pride parade in Chicago with a sign that said, I'm sorry. I used to be a Bible-banging homophobe.
Ooh.
I mean, he's apologizing to people in the midst of them celebrating a sin.
You know, the one thing I just want to say to him is, I hope I am standing in sin distance when you stand before Christ.
Say that again, Coach.
I said, the only thing I want to tell him is, I hope I am standing in sin distance when he has to stand before Christ and explain his sin.
But it's that well-meaning, right, Hutch? They want to show their love, but they're doing it without truth.
Yeah. What does the Bible say? If you're going to worship me, you got to worship me in spirit and truth. John chapter 4. And most of us want to do it either truthfully, where there's no love, or we want to do it with the Word without any standing on the Word of its truth. And that's the big problem that we have. Spirit and truth. That's the only thing that God accepts. So a lot of people walking in church, even Peter, who think they're singing and worshiping God, if they don't have spirit and truth, then God rejects it.
Right. Hutch, right now, but before we get to your marriage quickly, what would you tell? Let's say you got a gay activist who's one of these guys who is not so hate. I mean, he actually is interested in what you have to say. Mm-hmm. What would you? But he has been practicing homosexuality. He thinks he's, quote, gay. He thinks that is who he is. Mm-hmm. What would you tell him?
The very first thing is, take him to the only truth of the Bible that would change his life, and that is that Christ loves him and has died for him, and he needs to repent of his sin, not just homosexuality, but all of them, because they're all keeping him from the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives him the power to change his life and the world.
Right. And now, have you ever had long interactions with homosexual activists? Have you had long discussions?
Oh, my goodness, brother. And great ones, too, not just long, but great ones. And, you know, I've had pastors on my staff that has come out of homosexuality that is teaching in my church right now.
Yeah. Tell us about one of these long conversations or, you know, these great conversations you've had with people, who believe that they're quote, gay.
Yeah. The number one thing, the first thing they try to do is convince themselves and you that they can't change, that they was born that way. And I just go, no. But even if you are, let me ask you something. If you are born that way, which I do not believe it, who has the major power to dictate what is right and wrong? You, because you say you're born that way, a God who said he created you that way. Now, you said God created you that way, right? He goes, yeah. I said, then God says that even if I create you in a way, if I say something is wrong, can you continue to do it? You let go quiet and go, well, if I'm born that way, it's right to do. I said, okay, let me give you an example here. I'm born as a man to try to have sex with every woman I can. I'm born that way.
Men are lustful. It seems it's something that is, yes, it's natural.
It's natural. I'm born natural that way, especially without the Holy Spirit, to try to sleep and have sex with every woman I can. I said, now, because I am born that way, the Bible says that is wrong. Now, if it is wrong, the Bible says that God gives me the power to overcome that which is natural. And if it's unnatural, God never gives you an opportunity to do it. But if it's natural, he always gives you an opportunity, like in sex, to be married to feel it's not a sin. Show me one verse in the Bible where God says, if it's natural for you to be homosexual, he has given you a way to do it without sin.
Right.
And that's when they get mad at you. That's when they start calling your names.
Right. Yeah, what they don't realize is everybody has things that seem natural that are sinful.
Yes.
And if we just don't go out and have one of the key differences there, Hutch, is you don't go out and have lust pride parades.
The whole deal is there's very few people that's trying to get equal rights in sin, and that's why you and I have to end up fighting so much, not because we want to spend all our time on the homosexual issue, but homosexual issue want to spend all their time on us.
Right. Okay, now, Hutch, let's get back to your wife. You met this woman, and was it a long courtship? And was there a problem? Did you get a lot of flack? Did she get a lot of flack in this interracial relationship?
Flack we got when we first started because of cross-cult relationship, right?
Right. Where was she from?
She's from Eastern Washington.
Okay.
Up here in the state of Washington, which is really great. I mean, you know, she didn't know who I was before she met me. She never saw me play football. She didn't know me as a football player, which was one of the things I really, really desired in a wife, to just know me as Hutch and a husband, not as a professional football player. I mean, you know, it came along and she started learning just who I was a little later on, but it was good to get in that first relationship without having to deal with all the other junk. And people was always trying to get me married, you know. I mean, every time I turn around, they introduced me to some young lady and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So I kept comparing all the ladies because I met her and recruited her to disciple my high school teenagers at the church. So I had about 32 adults, Peter, working with me. We had over 300 kids, 10th, 11th, and 12th graders. We had discipleship, over 32 discipleship groups. It was one of the most phenomenal ministries outside of Starting Antioch I had ever been involved with. And she was one of the recruits. And I was recruiting from the singles group, and a bunch of them didn't want to give that kind of commitment to young kids. So I showed up at her house with about 100 kids on bicycles on a progressive dinner on bicycles. And she ended up having a great time, and the kids asked her to come, and she joined the group. And, she just kept rising to the top, you know, the cream rises to the top. And all the girls that I was dating or had taken out, I was always comparing to her. So I thought, wait a minute. If I'm always comparing these girls to her, why not ask her out? So we did. And we dated for almost 2 years, and no one even knew it.
Oh, wow. Now, was she dealing with white, sort of like white racism on her end?
Not white racism on her end. It was it was given to her that they was protecting her and protecting my ministry, that if we, when they found out we started dating, they said that our relationship was going to destroy my ministry. And if God really wanted to use me, and if she wanted God to use me, she needed to back off and break the relationship off.
All right, we'll pick up on that, Hutch, when we get back. We're talking to Pastor Ken Hutcherson, who's our speaker at our Americans for Truth Banquet on November 13th at Christian Liberty Academy.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back to Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Peter LaBarber, president of Americans for Truth. Our website is americansfortruth.org. I urge you to come to our banquet with our interview guest here as a speaker, Pastor Ken Hutcherson, who is, you might have heard him on the Rush Limbaugh show. He was recently interviewed by Rush. He's a friend of Rush. I think he even, didn't you even officiate at his wedding?
I did.
Yes, you did. And Hutch is also outspoken. He tells the truth about the homosexual issue, and for that reason, he has been labeled by at least one radical website as a homo bigot. You are a homo bigot. Did you know that, Hutch?
I tell you what, man. You know, the best thing in the world, Peter, is to have the right people mad at you.
Well, that happens to be, a lesbian activist named Pam Spaulding, and she needs God in a big way. She really does.
Palms blend, I think.
It's Pam's house blend. And yeah. Hutch, I think she has extra animosity for black leaders who are opposed to homosexuality.
Oh, no doubt about it. Just read some of her stuff.
Yeah, she's black herself, and I think she just, you know, so I was perusing through the websites, and there, actually, I put your name in Google, and homo bigot comes up pretty high in the list there, Hutch. At least you don't have porno Pete. That's what I got. You know?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, because, you know, I got this prurient interest in gay sex, if that's what they say. It's just
they come at us all with that one. That we got to be secretly gay, you know.
Yeah, if you condemn homosexuality or you fight against the gay agenda, you are a secret gay, you know, activist, or you have secret interest in the issue, and you apply that to any other issue, Hutch, it doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense.
You know what? Because we oppose abortion, we secretly want to see women have abortions. It's ridiculous, but it's just one of the tactics that they use, Hutch, to intimidate people, and unfortunately, it works.
Well, like I said, if you support something, you get more of it. If you apologize for something, you're going to get more opportunities to apologize.
Okay, Hutch. Now let's go back to your impending marriage here. She wanted to break it off because she thought it would hurt the ministry. What happened then?
No, they was telling her she needed to break it off because it was going to hurt my ministry. And God was not going to be able to use me with the controversy of a cross-cultural marriage. And my whole study of the Word was that God had called us to be one and not wait to heaven before black, white, and Hispanics and everyone else worship together. So it was going against all the aspects of what I had studied the Word of God wanted his bride to look like. So when we had locked it in our minds that this is what the Word of God says, interracial marriage or a cross-cultural marriage that God doesn't want is very simple. It's one where a believer marries a non-believer. Other than that, there's nothing else that's cross-cultural about it.
Interesting. So race isn't a big deal to God. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. He died for everyone.
And Hutch, you know, to this homosexual issue, you are a living example of the kind of marriage that they are trying to compare to a so-called marriage based on sin. When did that strike you, when this whole gay marriage thing came up, that, hey, this is exactly, they're trying to say it's like interracial marriage, and you're like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah. The big thing that really shocked me one day, we was having a big debate on a article I had written on homosexuality as the new African-Americans. And boy, did that hit the fan. I said, if you're going to be the new African-Americans, then these are several issues that has to take place. And, you know, I talked about you can't change. Just one thing after another, Peter, that just ate them. And I said, now let's talk about why there's nothing even close to homosexuality being like a cross-cultural marriage. Number one, the cross-cultural marriage that God says is good is still between a man and a woman.
Right.
Can you do that with homosexuality?
No, they cannot have their own children.
Cannot. I said, now we got a problem. We got a real serious problem. Woman to woman, Romans says it is unnatural. Does God ever say that marriage between a man and a woman, regardless of the color, is unnatural? Show it to me.
Yeah.
Of course they can. I said, now, if God didn't say that is unnatural, but he did say a woman desiring a woman, and a man desiring a man is totally unnatural for him. There's nothing natural about it. So I'm going to stand with God, not you.
Yeah, and what an insult that they continue to draw not just that analogy, but the whole analogy to the black civil rights movement, Hutch. That is such an insult, and that's one reason why blacks are so upset at the gay lobby these days.
You can imagine if Jesse Jackson and myself agree on anything. I mean, we're so polarized on different points of most spiritual things. But he himself says, don't even try. He used to say it. I don't know if he still says it. But don't even try to make the homosexual issue equal to what blacks went through in America.
Right. Right. Now, Hutch, I want to talk. I heard this story, and I want you to tell it.
Okay.
Of how you were insulted. There was a – tell us about this incident where it was – I think it was – was it Martin Luther King Day at your daughter's high school?
Yes.
Tell us
yes.
about that whole story.
Well, when my daughter was a freshman at the high school.
Which high school?
Mount Si High School in Sammamish, Washington. We had a huge problem at the school, which was – very few blacks, very few minorities was at the school. And the kids had taken a survey about what the main issues were and what was the trouble and problems in the school. And what happened was that racial issues between minorities was the number one issue in the school.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was two others. Of course, homosexuality was not even mentioned. So the school was having so much trouble, it was getting ready to eliminate the Martin Luther King Day celebration at the school. Well, my daughter had asked, can my dad speak? Because he grew up in Alabama. He can tell the story. He's a great speaker because he's a pastor. Everyone knew who I was. And that he would give a story that could change everything around on that issue. So the school asked me to come and speak. When she was a freshman, got a standing ovation from the kids. It went great. 4 years later, my daughter is a senior. They got the Gay Straight Alliance going. We fought the Day of Silence at the school. There's so many things going.
The Day of Silence, which is a gay activist day where the kids say they have to be silent out of solidarity with the oppression of homosexuals, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. So the kids said, that was freshmen, now they were seniors, said that we have not had a good celebration of Martin Luther King since Pastor Hutchison was here. So the senior class wanted me to come back to speak. Now, at that time, we had people coming in from California, Peter, lawyers flying in from New York, going after me about trying to stop that day of silence, okay?
Okay.
So, I mean, I was very controversial. So the student body... and the planners of the Martin Luther King and the Gay Straight Alliance came together and said, look, there's nothing going to be said. My dad is going to say nothing about homosexuality. This is about him growing up. And because I don't know if you knew this. You know I hated Martin Luther King.
Yeah, you told the last interview, you said, because he wasn't radical enough.
He wasn't radical enough. And I just found out last night that Condoleezza Rice's dad felt the same way. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it was an amazing story with the new book she's written. If you get a chance, you ought to get it. And so here I am. We agreed. Gay Straight Alliance agreed. This is going to be about Martin Luther King.
About racism.
About racism. So I go up to speak. My daughter introduced me. Her favorite teacher stands up and one other and starts booing.
This is right after you were introduced?
Right after my daughter introduced me.
Wow, before you'd even spoken.
Before I'd even spoken. And, of course, my daughter is just, she's a fighter. And if it would have happened with my older daughter, it would have been a fight right there in the school. And so I said, okay, I ignored the booing. I went ahead and spoke. Then after I finished speaking, the teacher stood up. One of the teacher, favorite teacher, stood up.
The same one or a different one?
Same one.
Okay.
And said, we would like to know why this man who does not believe in equal rights is speaking at the Martin Luther King Assembly, and we want him to respond. And my daughter at this time, she was so angry that she had anywhere, but she probably would have went up in the stands and took the teacher out. So I'm sitting there holding her, and I'm looking at the principal about, what are you going to do about this? Because the school rules is, if anyone stands, interferes, they are kicked out immediately. And here's teachers disrupting the assembly, and nothing happened to the teachers for weeks. And
now, what did you say when he said that during the talk? Did you say anything in response?
No, I said I had given my word that would be nothing said at the assembly about homosexuality, and I told the principal, I'm not going to speak right now, but when this is over, you're going to have some serious problems with me and this board and this school. And, brother, it hit the fan. And we spent the next year almost dealing with this whole thing of the teachers. Finally got the union got one out. The other is on restriction. So we won that debate.
So the teacher was ultimately disciplined? I mean, was he removed from the school or just?
It was a she. She was removed.
She was fired by the school?
No, you know, they don't fire you. The union won't let you be fired. She was transferred.
Transferred.
Yeah.
Wow. And did she know that this was about race? This was not supposed to be about homosexuality, but she just couldn't help herself?
No, she was the head of the GSA.
Oh, so she knew the deal.
She knew it was a setup. They wanted to fight.
Wow. And so it always comes back. That's the thing about this, Hutch. It always comes back to the gay issue. You know, they want to always make it about that. It's always about them.
Yes.
You already had a deal set up. You were going to share your racial story, which is a wonderful story. We've heard it here on the radio. But they just couldn't let that happen.
Absolutely not.
And so tell us how your daughter, so she wanted to fight too, and she must have been terribly angered by that.
Oh, my goodness. The next 3 days, she had to go to class and hear the teachers talk about the assembly. They put in the paper, one of the teachers called the gay newspaper, let them know where my kids went to school, what had happened. After 3 days of listening, said she couldn't handle anymore. This was her advanced placement teacher in British literature.
Was the teacher a homosexual?
No, she said she isn't.
Right.
She's married, got kids, had kids in the school. So it was the fact of her saying that she was protecting the gay kids.
Yeah, they do it in the name of protecting gay kids.
Yep.
We're talking to Pastor Ken Hutcherson. We'll be back after the break. Our website is AmericansForTruth.org. Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarber, president of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. Our website is AmericansForTruth.org. We're talking to Pastor Ken Hutcherson, who's our speaker on Saturday, November 13th at Christian Liberty Academy. You can go to their website, ChristianLibertyAcademy.org, I think. This will be a dinner lecture by Pastor Hutcherson. And Hutch, you have dealt a lot with this issue in schools. Let's talk about what you just said. The teacher has felt she had to speak out against you because she thinks she is protecting the gay kids at the school.
Absolutely.
So this idea that they're protecting these kids, first of all, they're using their authority, and it's pretty great, the authority of a teacher in a school. They're using that authority to promote to these kids that it is normal and acceptable to have an identity built around homosexuality.
Absolutely, and we shut that down 100%. At the school, 100%.
How? Describe that.
What we did was we said, this school is a time to educate, not indoctrinate. And if you're going to try to push this as the issue, because we proved to the fact, the first year we fought this, Peter, in the Gay Straight Alliance, there was not one gay kid in the Gay Straight Alliance.
Really?
Not one.
Wow.
We said, and then the teachers wouldn't teach. I don't know if you knew that. The kids not only was silent, but the teachers could choose to be silent whole day and not teach in class.
Yeah, this is on the day of silence.
The day of silence. And we found out about it. Now, hold on to your hat on this one. We found out about it when my wife went up to talk to the teacher after school. And as my wife walked in the room to talk to the teacher wouldn't talk back to her and would respond by writing on the board.
Okay, let's explain this, Hutch, because I think some people who don't know a lot about gay activism won't know what we're talking about. This Day of Silence is a pro-homosexual solidarity event. It's spread all across the country. It's promoted by the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, or GLSEN, which was founded by Kevin Jennings, who's now an appointee of Barack Obama. Kevin Jennings is a homosexual radical, a radical homosexual activist who should have been fired because of all his anti-Christian activities. In fact, Hutch, I haven't been able to find it, but once he said he used the F word in a church to describe his attitude towards conservative Christians. So this day of silence is a day when the kids don't speak. And a lot of times the schools allow the kids not to speak as this sort of protest. But now in some schools, like your daughter's, the actual teachers didn't even speak.
I mean, and it was, and when my wife walked up and said, "I see you another day," wrote on the board, and that's when it hit the fan. Don't mess with Mama Grizzly, you know.
So these teachers now, and they're doing all of this, of course, to, again, Hutch, to protect the kids. And as we talked about last week, Hutch, the latest CDC study, I'm going to read right from it here. Mm-hmm. One in five gay, this is a Reuters report, one in five gay bisexual men in the U.S. has HIV, and 44% don't even know about it. This idea of protecting kids by affirming homosexuality is just wrong.
Well, the 44%, the 45% that don't want to know, but that don't know, there's another 55% who don't want to know.
Yeah.
Because they're being protected by all the media and saying that you are being discriminated against when your lifestyle, they don't want to admit that lifestyle is dangerous. The Center for Disease Control told us that. This isn't our idea. This is from the health department.
Right. And Hutch, you actually took a newspaper ad out in a liberal newspaper called The Stranger.
No, gay newspaper.
It's a gay newspaper. Okay.
Yeah.
You took an ad out basically talking about these health hazards. Talk about that.
Well, what I did was because the day of silence was coming up last year, and I wanted to deal with it again in the public, I went to the newspaper up in the local newspaper at our school in the city, and they would not print this article that I had all the stats from the Center for Disease Control that if it was trans fats was bad for us and sugar was bad and soda was bad and chips was bad, the Center for Disease Control says homosexuality is bad. So if you're going to remove all the trans fats and sugars, you should be removing homosexuality from being celebrated in the school.
Now, so you took that to the local newspaper where in Redmond?
No, in Snohomish.
Oh, okay.
It's called Snoqualmie Valley.
Okay, and they would not run it, but what was their reasoning?
He said this is a family newspaper and that they would not run it because they didn't want kids reading the article. I said, oh, so the truth about what is dangerous in school, you're right. You know, write about everything else, but you're not going to write about this? Well, no. And the ass is, so who's making the final decision about this? And he says, well, I'm the editor. I can't. I said, so your personal ideas is what is making this decision that you're not going to print it. He goes, yeah. So I called a gay paper, and they says, you know, if you buy the whole page, yeah, we'll print it. And I says, it's sold. So I bought the whole page and and put that article in the paper. And it's the only article, Peter, that they got. I didn't get the flack. Guess who got the flack for printing the article?
The gay newspaper.
The gay newspaper.
Right. And then didn't they take the money and they donate? Didn't they donate it to GLSEN?
They said that they got so much flack, they said, we're not keeping the money. We did this so we can donate it to GLSEN. Yeah.
So, Hutch, encapsulate for us your thoughts on this entire huge movement now which promotes homosexuality to impressionable kids. This must just break your heart.
It's worse than that. It is looking at a world out there that don't want to face the truth, don't want to face their bad decisions, and then use others to justify their actions and pretend that they're trying to protect our youth, when really they're trying to protect an ungodly, unsensible, an abomination to God Almighty.
And these kids are confused. How are they supposed to know, you know, that they have this, that they're supposedly gay or lesbian or bisexual? I mean, kids, you know, 16, 14-year-olds, these kids don't know what's going on yet.
It's you know, I blame parents, Peter. It's like my wife said, if I want my kids to learn about these issues of sex, they're not going to do it in our school. They learn that at home. If they want to learn what it means to be half black and half white, I'm not going to allow the school to teach them that. They're going to learn that at home. If they want to learn about their sexuality as males and their sexuality as females, school's not going to teach our kids. They're going to learn that at home. And that's where parents fail. They are leaving education up to those who does not have the same values as they do.
Right. And there's a huge, they're unaware that there is a huge network now promoting the normalcy of homosexuality, going right back to the teachers' colleges, Hutch, where they're teaching the teachers that they've got to be tolerant of homosexuality.
That's because we are allowing it, Peter.
Yeah.
See, one thing about meat I've learned, bruh, if you put meat in the sun, it rots. That's a natural process of meat. Our job is to use preservatives, coal, salt, to slow that rotting process down so it could be used. The church is the salt of the earth, Peter. We've lost our saltiness. We're supposed to be the one that's preserving school and what's being taught and keeping the world from rotting. The world is going to naturally rot if we don't put the preservative there to make sure it's slowed down so God can use them.
Right. And there's not much preservation going on, and so sin is growing, and the power of sin in our culture is growing immensely.
You got it, bro. I can't say it better than that.
Well, Hutch, we're so glad to have you here, and I'm glad we have one more interview scheduled. I knew we were going to have a lot to talk about. I want to talk about the way you've approached this homosexual issue, and I want to talk about the fear factor, not a TV show. We're talking about why pastors are shutting up on this issue.
Oh, I'm going to love that one.
Yes, and I want you to address that. Pastor Ken Hutcherson will be our speaker at the Americans for Truth Banquet, which is Saturday, November 13th. That is going to be held at the Christian Liberty Academy. You can get details by going to americansfortruth.org, americansfortruth.org. Click the button. He's that guy on the right side there. You're going to recognize him. He's right at the upper right of the website. Click on that. You got all the information you need. Tell your friends about it. It's $50 before November 8th, $75 after that. We'll talk to you then.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.